From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made over a 30-year career in the construction industry. For the McCleary family, construction is a passion. It's made for a successful living. But over three decades, as family members describe it, they witnessed the various barriers that minorities encounter that prevent them from being successful in the construction industry. And if you go to their reports, their websites, you can find utilization reports, just basically who is on a job site on a typical July morning, a summer morning at a job. What do you think it looks like? It is pretty remarkable, the lack of diversity on a lot of construction sites, but they say it doesn't have to be that way. They want to help address and eliminate these barriers, and Upstate Interiors Academy was formed to do that. The Academy has another graduation celebration coming up for those who complete their pre-apprenticeship 12-week construction trades program. It had us wondering, can we meet some of the graduates? What have they learned? What is the job market like for people who want to work in the trades? Where are these students headed next? We're going to take a look at the career fields with our guests, and I want to welcome a lot of folks in studio. This is going to be a packed hour, and we're really looking forward to this. Cecil McCleary Jr. is the founder of Upstate Interiors Academy. Cecil, welcome. Thank you for being with us this hour.
Thank you.
And welcome to Nakofi McCleary, who is Executive Director of UIA, Upstate Interiors Academy. Welcome back.
Yes, great to be here.
And Naishi McCleary is Business Manager of UIA. Naishi, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here.
And hello across the table to the soon-to-be graduates of the pre-apprenticeship program as of 2 days from now. Hello, Cesare Campbell. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me here.
Jameer Kirkland, welcome. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Leroy Yarde, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, I want to ask the McClarys first. You know, when you look at Upstate Interiors Academy, you're off and running. You've got another graduation Saturday. It's a big day. But why UIA was founded in the first place? I tried to give a sense of that, but I want to give all three of you some chance to talk about that. And Cecil, as the founder, do you want to start? You want to tell us what the mission of UIA is?
The mission is to recruit young people in this business. In order to be successful, you're going to have the skills. And the reason why you was left out in the past because you don't have the skills to do. You may think you have it, but you don't have it because what we do is complicated interior work. So this is a great thing for you guys and a great opportunity.
Nakofi, we first met, I think, maybe a year ago. I mean, we really were. Time flies here, so could be two, could be five, could be a year. I don't know anymore what time is. But I want to give you a sense, you a chance to kind of add to that story here and what the mission of UIA is. And then we're going to talk to these young men across the table from you. But tell me about the mission as you see it.
Yes. We've been brainstorming over the last few decades about our successes, our failures in the construction industry. And one of the main things that we have targeted is our workforce. We're passionate, all businesses are passionate about having professional, well-trained, and qualified workers. So it was our intention over the last few years to actually start a nonprofit academy where we can actually teach certain skills before minorities in particular get into the apprenticeship programs. So our program has been carefully designed with retention in mind. That's the big thing. We spent a lot of time designing our program, but it's for retention. We're not here to just give certificates. When our students graduate from our program, we want them to have the social-emotional learning, the components that remove any barriers, and our clinical social worker does an amazing job with that aspect of it. The educational portion of it is also crucial. I lead our education component, pedagogy, the best practices, how we differentiate our instruction. All of that is very important to us. Our assessments, all of our classes are designed with assessments, online assessments, and our students have done a great job with those. And then the third component is the actual training. We have a certified union carpenter training with carpenters to assist them that have many years in a business. So the hands-on component, when students leave our academy, we want them to be able to say, hey, I learned how to use a tape measure. I can put down top track, bottom track, install studs, 16 inches on center. I can lay out drywall and install drywall. We want them to leave with those foundational skills because when they get to the apprenticeship program, they'll be more apt to be successful. And they bring value immediately on the first day that they arrive. They can work for Upstate Interiors, but they can work for any other company and bring value. And when anybody brings value to a company, they're going to continue to keep them working.
Is it your assumption, Kofi, that most of those who do come through this apprenticeship program will work for Upstate Interiors or go elsewhere?
I think that we would probably be able to keep 25% of our students. Of course, we want all of them working for us, but we have a limited amount of work for our construction company. Most of the work in the area are from the other larger contractors. So we want to be a source, a resource for those contractors as well. We want them to be able to pull from professional, well-skilled minorities. And then when they pair them up with their experienced workers, then they'll have more of an opportunity to be successful in the trades. It's hard to have unprofessional, unskilled people, minorities or non-minorities, come into a job site, especially if you have to deal with barriers on top of that. They're coming late and they don't have the skills. It's like a revolving door. Yes, we get them in the union, but they soon are laid off. They decide to drop out of union, and next thing you know, they're working service jobs. It's all about a career for these young men. We want them to have health care, pensions, retirement, and we want them to be able to build generational wealth.
Now, she is nodding next to you. As the business manager, tell me what you think is the measure of success. How do you know if this program is working, Naishi?
Well, one of the things, Evan, if you would allow me to go back to your earlier question about the overall mission of Upstate Interiors Academy, if anyone would visit our website, the first few lines on the website regarding our mission is that Upstate Interiors Academy believes in the combined transforming power of hope, help, hard work, and opportunity to transform people's lives for good. And so we are very passionate about the men and women, the individuals of Rochester, those who need alternatives to college education, and those who are seeking a career in the construction industry. And so when we screen our students, our potential applicants to come into the program, we are looking for individuals who have a set of intrinsic motivation, those who use the language of I can versus I cannot, those who are willing to give our program a chance, those who have a vision to see themselves successful in the construction industry. And when they come along with barriers, we're there to help support them through that. How we measure success, we have a number of benchmarks. One, it is just the intrinsic motivation. So during the interview process, there's a lot of thoughtful questions that goes into interviewing potential applicants. We also look for what their schedules look like, because we really try to prevent individuals who have the intrinsic motivation, but life kind of gets in the way. So we want the person to have a flexible schedule that will allow them really to be able to attend our program for the 12 weeks. And when things come up, we're also there to support them. But we want to know that when you come in, we want you to finish with us. So we look at attendance measures. We also, as Nakofi mentioned, we also have benchmark assessments to see how students, if they're retaining the information, if they're actually learning and practicing the skills on site when they're in class with us. We also have Tuesday and Thursday class. Those are our skills assessment classes. So Saturdays is when the students spend majority of the time in our program, but we're also looking to see, are you coming to those Tuesdays and Thursdays classes to see, to practice what you've been learning in the Saturday classes? Ultimately, if you make it to the finish line, the 12 weeks, and you are able to receive your certificate, we look at that as success. Before, with this particular group that we have coming up, we did a little bit of things differently. We have them to go to their union meeting prior to graduation. So they had to attend. The union has their meetings the first Monday of every month. So we tell our students that's something, that's a requirement, you have to go, because these are all things that's going to set them up to be able to enter the union upon graduation. So that's one thing. Checkmark. That's a plus. And then we also have them to get their OSHA 10, which is also a requirement for the union. Even if you graduate from our program, you went to your union session, and once you're in, if you do not have your OSHA 10 and you're called on a job site, you cannot work. So these are all the things that we are thoughtfully communicating with our students about over the 12 weeks. And once they meet those benchmarks and they graduate, we look at that as success.
Absolutely. And it's also, you make it that rigorous because it's your reputation when they're out there working, right? I mean, if they're working and they say, I went through UIA, you want them to perform. You want them to want to be wanted back. That's key here, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I want to ask Nekofi another question about some of what I just heard Naishi talking about with the values, especially a combination of ideas here that I think flies in the face of overly simplifying so many of the seemingly intractable problems in society. So sometimes what we hear is that either, hard work, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, anybody can do it, stop complaining, get out there and work. Or we hear, everything is so unequal, that the deck is so stacked that it is unfair and people may need to be pulled forward. That is overly simplifying it, of course. But what I hear in your mission is a combination that says, we understand people may need help and some understanding and some real care in making sure they understand what is expected and how you get there. But Naishi also said, you got to show up with that intrinsic motivation. You have to be driven to do this. And you're not just going to be given a certificate. You're not just going to go through 12 weeks and boom. And can you just talk a little bit about why both angles of that really matter to you?
Yes, I can. I want to start off by saying I'm not going to spend a lot of time with diversity, equity, inclusion. We all know that that's a given. That's known. Anybody that been in certain, any minority that has been in certain arenas, we know that is the case. We have implicit and explicit biases. We all do. But our program is designed at not focusing on a problem, but addressing the solution. And we have some work to do to address the solution. We feel like our world is on fire and we're trying to be water to try to put out some of the fire. We can't do it all by ourselves. A shout out to the Carpenters Union. They have been a great partner to us. Chris Austin, Tim Hall, they've really helped us just to support our goal and our mission. But getting back to the work that we have to do as a minority community, we have to have that intrinsic motivation. I say it all the time. It's simple. You either going to win in life or you're going to lose in life. And we talk about those five things. I teach, they say I preach about these five things, and that's really preventing us. And my wife is looking at me. She's like, honey. But we got some issues, and I'm going to say it. I mean, I know I'm going to take a lot of flack for saying it, but we have some issues, not just minorities, just non-minorities and minorities. The issue with the weed epidemic is legal now, but that is really, really having a negative impact in our community. And I'm an educator. I see the effects of it with our small children every single day. So not only that, there's other things. The video games, we're spending hours on the video games. That is really hurting us. The messages in music and all of that. We need positive role models. The social environment, the social media, we're spending hours on that stuff. And then the drama in the community. I like to finish it off with the situation that happened last year. We're at the University of Rochester. One morning I was going on site. It was a great morning. Our workers were doing great work there. Shout out to the University of Rochester. They're a great partner. They also have supported and assisted us, Giannis, Mario, all of those at the University of Rochester, because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, because they really started off and partnered with us. But one morning I was feeling really good, and I was walking back to my truck, and a young family was coming out of the hospital, and they said, "We see y'all. We see the wonderful work that you're doing, and we're so proud of you." And fast forward that to leaving the site at 3:30 and going down Genesee Street and seeing the commotion right in front of my vehicle, and a young man and a young older man was fighting, and come to find out one of them got shot and rushed to the University of Rochester. Now, the hospital that we're working on, we have that situation, and now we have a young man losing his life, being negatively impacted in that. And the question in my mind is, what if we can target these young men and young women and put them in a program like this if they're not going to college and pour into them? I think that we can be very successful. But to answer your question, we have work to do in our own community. We're working on the solutions, not the problems. And we know we have work to do, and we're here to do the work, and we need partnerships because we can't do the work by ourselves.
Let me just follow up on one brief point, and not to belabor it. That's probably a whole other conversation. But do you think the legalization of marijuana is in particular hurting the black community, Nkofi?
I think I'm not going to say the black community. I think that marijuana trauma, when people are going through things in their lives, I see it day in, day out. They have to have a out, an escape.
A coping mechanism.
Yeah. That's a great way. You know, some use marijuana, but alcohol, there's other vices as well. I just highlighted that because it has really negatively impacted, especially in construction. You know, you have to be safe in construction. You can't come to work high. We have standards that we set at our academy, high standards. We always talk about setting the standards, meeting the standards, leadership. You know, we model this day in and day out, and we're striving to do it. There's a lot of work to do, and we need partners. There's so much negativity on the news, and that's why I say, you know, we're having our graduation on Saturday at 3 p.m. We're here to celebrate, and our team does an amazing job setting up our training facility, and we really celebrate these students because they have some wonderful, wonderful stories. I can't wait for the audience to hear some of the stories our students.
You're about to hear some of those stories. Nisha, you want to grab that? Yeah, go ahead.
And so I just wanted to add really quickly, we know that the country has decided to legalize marijuana, and there's many individuals, people that do it day in and day out, but I wanted to emphasize what Nkofi said a minute ago. And we have very thoughtful and deep conversations and passionate conversations with our students, our men and women who come to Upstate Interiors Academy. At the end of the day and the end of the hour, it's really about positioning yourself. And it's something that I lead out when we meet with our students. It's about positioning yourself to be your best self and your greatest self. And if that means that you are a student who have been, since we're talking about marijuana, been smoking weed, and you recognize that when you don't have it, you tend to move a little faster. Your speed is, you know, quicker. You are cognitively more alert and things of that nature versus when you do smoke it, because we've had students to tell us, you know, I'm just really extra laid back. You know, my energy is not as much as it is when I'm not smoking, you know, marijuana and things like that. And so we always say inside the academy, there's no children here. You are grown men and grown women, you are individuals. It is your decision to lead your life how you want to lead your life. But we do want you to thoughtfully position yourself in the best way possible. And if you are deciding to go into an industry like construction, and safety is always first and it's priority. And it's very interesting too, Evan, while we say, yes, it's legal, but there are many larger construction companies. If a professional shows up on a job site smelling of marijuana and weed, they will let you go home for the day. And so it's legal, yes, but is it really legal? You know, but they're not going to have you on a job site under the influence of any substance. And so this is the thoughtful conversations that we have with our students. We really want for every individual to come through and really look at themselves in an intimate way, look at their individual paths and the family and really the community that they navigate, and make those thoughtful decisions on their own with our support and with having real information.
Cecil, yeah, go ahead.
Yes. And the reason why that is so important is that you can't come on the job at 60%. You have to be 100%. You have to have the skills. You have to have the people skills. And then you make yourself valuable.
One more question for you, sir, if I could. And we'll grab a phone call, and then we're going to turn to our guests across the table here, because their stories are big reason why we're here this hour. I don't know if you feel like you were born with the work ethic that you had, or if you had to learn it. And I'm curious to know how you feel about work ethic. Can it be learned?
Coming from the South, I've been working ever since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
So it is something that my parents taught me at an early age. When we moved to the North, then my friends, a lot of them didn't have that work effort within them. And I see a problem there that with some people, they're just too relaxed and they don't take advantage of opportunities because of maybe the situation that they're in, that they haven't been taught. But it's like everything else. You have to be taught. You have to have the situation where that you are going to step up and then do what you need to do.
And better to learn that early in life, you think?
It's better to learn that early in life. But if that's not the case, then you're going to need people that's like what we are doing and other people that's going to show the love and the respect and to show you that you do have the capability to do it. And just don't give up so quickly on them. You have to hit it from all different directions, you know. But especially a lot of minority people, they just mostly white people growing up in a situation where the skills, the work efforts is passed down from generation to generation. And in a lot of cases with minority people, because of certain situation, that's just not the case. So we have to spend some extra time with them to try to get them to see the big picture. And I am very pleased that these young men's right here. And I can see the joy that within them, because number one, we not only introduce them to the program, we show them that love and respect that they need and that hope that they could do it.
There's a lot of nods across the table. These young men agree with that very, very much. If just joining us, we're talking to Cecil McCleary Jr., founder of Upstate Interiors Academy. Nakofi McCleary, Naishi McCleary, executive director and business manager of Upstate Interiors Academy. And in a moment, you're going to hear stories from Cesare Campbell, Jameer Kirkland, Leroy Yarday, their stories in just a second. Let me grab a phone call from Rich in Rochester. Hello, Rich. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I think the point about marijuana has got to be taken seriously, because I think marijuana is going to be just like alcohol or anything else. You can't come to work impaired, and we have to change the narrative maybe, because there's some alarming studies for especially marijuana with young people under the age of 19 and 20, where if you have a propensity toward anything like schizophrenia or something, there's literally an 11x chance that you may trigger it using marijuana. So that's one thing that we really have to look at. And also, when it comes to things like this, yeah, we can say, we can talk about the system and the inequities. But to your guest's point, each individual has to be dealt with as far as their weaknesses and things when it comes to work ethic. Looking at life and how to be responsible and all that, those are individual things. So it's really a two-pronged attack. You can't just say, well, it's always the system. I think we also have to teach children, these young people, what it means to work, what it means to be responsible. And I think all of that comes into play on this.
Rich, I appreciate that. And I'll say I'm not familiar offhand with the studies he's talking about with schizophrenia or other conditions, but Rich is among the smarter people I know, and I wouldn't question it offhand. But I appreciate that phone call, Rich. Nakofi, Naishi, you want to add to that before we turn to our guests across the table?
Yes. And that's what our program is for. We're focused on the solutions. We understand that we have work to do, individual work to do. We have to be intrinsically motivated. We're providing hope and inspiration to everybody to get them to that point to where they have I like to say the want-tos. My grandfather used to say all that. You got to have the want-tos. So we get that aspect of it. And she wants to say something.
Yes, really quickly, and thank you, caller, for calling in. What you said is right on point and aligns very much with the work that we do for the Rochester community. And I'll go back again really quickly to our mission statement that really lifts up hope, help. The person comes with the intrinsic motivation. We're there to provide the help. But the third one on that is hard work. That's coming from the individual. You have to be, anybody that comes through Upstate Interiors Academy has to show a level of accountability. We do our part, but you are held to high expectations, and it speaks to what Rich just said. You have to be able to show that you can be responsible, that you can do the work, that you can show up, and you can show up in a certain way that meets the UIA standards. And then there's the opportunity. The opportunity speaks to the job opportunities that once our students leave our program, that we hope that the larger contractors, ourselves, as a nonprofit organization, Upstate Interiors, as a construction company, the opportunities, and it all, nothing is individual. It's all connected in a very careful way. And so we hope that those of you who are listening, the Rochester community, the companies, that you will support us and support our work. It's never really about us. We're here, yes, and this is our nonprofit organization. But at the end of the day, end of the hour, it's about having a thriving human being and having students who can contribute positively to their community and to their families.
Cecil wants to jump in. Cecil?
And you guys don't think that you're doing it just for yourself. Think about your family. You're doing it for your family. Think about your kids. You know, that should be the motivation right there for you to be at it 100%.
By the way, as we go to break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to these soon-to-be graduates. Saturday, right? How many graduating on Saturday?
10
on Saturday. And what is a website that listeners can learn more about what you are doing here?
Our website is www.upstateinteriorsllc.com. www.upstateinteriorsllc.com.
Let's take this only break. We're going to come back and talk to these soon-to-be graduates next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, you've probably heard of Frank Lloyd Wright. Maybe you've seen his works of art, the many homes he's designed. He's considered one of the great American architects. There is one Frank Lloyd Wright house in Rochester, the Boynton House, built in 1908. What would it be like to live there? We're going to talk to a woman who grew up there, moved there when she was a little girl, and now she's back in Rochester for a symposium on Wright. We'll talk to her next hour. This is Connections, and Tim emails to say, these are the best guests you've ever had on Connections. Tim, 11 years going on of the show. And Tim just crowned these. The McClary's, wow. You're the best guest we've ever had.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tim.
That's a powerful endorsement. People are very much responding to the messages that you're hearing from the team at Upstate Interiors and Upstate Interiors Academy, which is their nonprofit. And 10 graduates on Saturday, and you're going to meet some of them now. And I'm going to turn to Cesare Campbell first. And let me just start by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you ended up in this program in the first place.
My name is Cesare DeMario Campbell, Jr. I'm an 18 young male. And the way I found out about this program is I was in an Uber going to work one day, and the driver just told me to go to the website and fill it out. And I had got a call about probably next week later with the time, the date, the class start. And I grew up in Rochester, New York. I didn't have the best childhood growing up. Having my mother, Kateria Bridges, as my only parent, and just me and my six siblings. And it's just been hard growing up. When I turned 14, that's when my mother passed, and I didn't have nobody. Me and my siblings were just lost and hurt. And I just want to graduate and get a union just to take care of them. And I don't really matter about me. I just want to put them first so they could be healthy and have something. And I just worry about me last. And I just, you know, I appreciate having them. But without them, I don't know where I would have been. Mm. So, and being around my siblings, it make me not depressed. So it's like, I appreciate this program, and it's like a really good program to get into, and it's a life changer. So without this program, I wouldn't know like where I'll be or what's my next step ahead. And I'm glad for myself waking up every Saturday, 5 a.m, just to get ready to come to the program and coming every Thursdays and sometimes Tuesday just to get extra help, just to take this career seriously. And that's about it.
Yeah, you're 18 years old now?
Yes.
You lost your mom when you were 14?
Yes.
Where did you and your siblings go?
My aunt, Dominique Burgess, took care of us.
First of all, I'm sorry what you've gone through. But I'll tell you what really is, your whole story is very moving, but I'm going to tell you what really hits me. You've got 5 siblings. It seems like you guys are tight.
Yes.
You've already been through a lot. And now you're in adulthood, and you are not saying, well, none of this matters. I just had a mother. She's gone. Nothing matters. You're saying it does matter, and I'm going to be a provider, and I'm going to step up. And I think that says a lot about you, Cesare. Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me what you want to do with this work.
I just want to have a successful career, just to have something I could rely on, and for just to help my siblings out, really. I don't really care about nothing else or getting flashy stuff like flashy cars or jewelry and stuff. I just want to make sure my siblings is straight in the future.
I'm going to let you catch your breath and let them say some nice things about you because they're very proud of you. You can see that. And I know it's not easy to tell this story, but go ahead, Nakofi.
Yes, and we're so proud of him. He has showed up every Saturday on time. The family atmosphere, the camaraderie that we've built is really, really amazing. It has been a pleasure to watch Cesare build in a training center, frame walls, and being a part of something that's special. And we love the fact that, you know, it's not about him. It's about other people. And that's what our mission is. We're here to help people. In our program, one thing that I want to highlight and congratulate, we don't pay them. It has to all be intrinsic motivation. You know, they are so excited about being there on Saturdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays without no money. And we feel like, and that was one of Nashi's biggest things. No, when we start our non-profit organization, we're not going to pay them because that weeds people that are not serious out. It's tough getting up every single Saturday. And this cohort is special because we had just one break. We normally go 3 Saturdays and a break. This one, we went straight through. We had one break, 4th of July weekend. We gave them that Saturday off because we knew that this is the heat of the construction season. And if we get them graduated and we can get them in a union, they'll have an opportunity to get employed immediately because everybody's going to be looking for workers.
Cesare, you got the whole room in tears, man. Like this is, I mean, it's a lot of respect for you. Can you give me a sense, by the way, for a skill that you've picked up that maybe you didn't know that you could do?
Well, learning fast by putting up framing and a little bit of drywall. Mm-hmm. I'm not too good with the drywall, but I'm learning, and I know I'm gonna get it down pat in the future. So,
do you also feel that's interesting? You say that because. I'm very good at taking drywall down. I'm not so much putting it up. Do you feel like through this program, you've already obviously gained some very strong technical skills, but for the stuff that you don't feel like is exactly at the level you want, do you feel like, I know that I can get there? I know that that is something that I will do?
Yes. I just know I just got to put in more work and study more, and eventually I get it down pat.
It's a great story. And in the future, have you thought about exactly where you want to work? Like, if you could pick it, like the kind of stuff that you're going to do?
In a union for being a carpenter.
There you go. Yeah. Sounds like you're on your way. Jameer Kirkland, let's grab that microphone there for Jameer. And Jameer is doing some work in the Amazon warehouse, is managed at McDonald's, and you're coming through this program now. And I want you to tell us a little bit more of your story. Introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us how you even heard about Upstate Interiors Academy.
Hey, how you doing? Again, my name is Jameer. I'll be 21 in September. I work in a warehouse. I'm a manager at McDonald's. I heard about Upstate Interior through a friend, actually helping hanging up drywall. Her father was talking about what a great opportunity it was, and he had offer, and I took heed to it. I took it serious, and I had went. I had got a call back, and it was great.
And so here you are coming through this program now, and where do you want to go next with it?
I really just want to just change the trajectory of my family. They always say that, they always put that stuff like that in our ear. Just being able to position myself in a better, in a better situation for my family, for my daughter, for my sister, my mom. Just me just seeing my mom cry a lot when I was younger. All my brothers and sisters being split up. My mom always needed me. Family. I just seen we don't got nobody but each other.
And when you talk about some of the technical skills, we were listening to some of what Cesare is talking about. What do you feel like your strengths are, and what have you learned that maybe it surprises you?
I learned so much. how to frame drywall, frame quick and proficiently, hang up drywall, identify tools, read measuring tapes, read layout to get a job done. I learned so much.
When you look at a finished job, do you feel like that sense of pride is really strong?
Yes, it feels amazing just knowing that. Just the sense of having a feeling of completion, knowing that you had done something.
Let me ask Chesra that same question. I didn't ask you that question. What is it like for you when you start seeing the work get finished and you know that that's your hand on it?
It made me feel great and accomplished. I never felt like that in a while when I made my mom proud of when I used to play football. But she'd be there by my side. Nobody else, not my father, not my grandma, auntie, none of it, just my mom on that sideline. So, and just every time I did something great, she always be there next to me, smiling, laughing. And it just, when I look at the work I've done in the Upstate Interiors, and it give me that reminder that she's looking down on me. And just smiling.
It's awesome. I mean, who would have thought that you'd get that same feeling of satisfaction? What position did you play in football, by the way?
I had played quarterback and running back and outside linebacker and safety.
So you weren't very good. It's an amazing thing, man. It's amazing that, you know, all these years later, you're doing work for Upstate Interiors, and it's giving you that same sense of, like, I know I accomplished something meaningful here.
Yes.
That is awesome, the coffee.
And Jahmyr, just wanted to get back to him. He has been one of our top students. He has attended every Saturday class, every Tuesday class, Thursday class. If he can't get there by himself, he calling for transportation. Hey, I need Jack to pick us out. We want to shout out our transportation person, Jack Washington. He's been there every class. And the last assessment, we pair them up, and they have to frame a wall up, and they have to drywall. And Jahmyr was doing it by himself. He was framing by himself. He was putting up drywall by himself. We was like, yes, this is what it's all about. He put in the hard work, and it paid off.
Nishim.
Thank you.
Yes, this warms my heart to be here this morning. I just or this afternoon now, and I just want to thank WXXI for having us here. Real quick, I definitely want to give an additional shout out to our entire management team. We are at the table this morning with you, Evan, but we cannot do this work without our amazing site coordinator, Natasha McCleary, our administrative assistant, Shanita Nelson, all of our instructors, Dwayne McCleary, Tom, Russ, everybody. But again, this is really about the students. So I really hope that the men and women in Rochester, that the community is really listening to the stories of our young people. There are many, unfortunately, a lot of Cesare's out Not only just in Rochester, but all across the country, in many different states. There's a lot of Jameers and Leroys. And so we just hope that we will continue to be able to continue this great work and have platforms like this where we can come and share our story. But more importantly, our students have a voice. And we're just very, very proud of them again.
You should be. And this is your public radio. You always have a voice here. And in a second, we're going to hear the voice of Leroy Yarday. You've been hearing Jameer and Chesre. But before we do that, let me grab a phone call from Andrew, who wants to jump in. Hello, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys. I remember very fondly looking back, I remember finally being yelled at by this old union carpenter that used to teach me stuff. And he would yell at me if I walked around the wrong side of a piece of plywood. And he would say, this is true, he would say, why did you walk around that side of the piece? You took three more steps going around that side of that pile of plywood, and you could have gone around this side. And he said, look, man, you got to see the big picture. You're going to be here all day, and I'm going to be calling on you to do stuff, and I need you to have as much energy as possible. And so you need to be doing stuff efficiently. And he said, if you think that's not a big deal, what side of the piece of the pile you walk around, he said, it is a big deal.
Little details.
It all adds up.
There you go.
And he was right. And he also taught me about leverage. He would yell at me if I was struggling with something. And he would say, look, if the hammer doesn't move it, get a bar. If the bar doesn't move it, get a 2x4. He said, you're a carpenter. You're a gentleman. You don't kill yourself. You get a bar. He taught me lots of cool stuff. And he also taught me never ask people what they get paid. It's none of your business. No, yeah. It's true. It's because somebody, there was a guy that didn't frame walls as fast as the rest of us, but he got paid more. And the reason he got paid more was because he had three kids and a wife. We were just young kids drinking beer and going out after work. And so he was like, look, it's none of your business what that guy gets paid. You just put your head down and work. You know, we built 80 houses at a time. It was a lot of work to do, and we didn't have any time for fighting and stuff like that. And we're walking around the wrong side of a pile of plywood. All right, that's it.
Thank you for the story, Andrew. Thank you for the phone call. Great to hear from you. That's, those little details, they matter, don't they, Naishi?
Yes, they do.
Cecil's nodding along with you, Andrew. That's the story. Can you think of little lessons that you learned in your career about how to be more efficient and what you need to do on site?
When I, as a young man, what I always try to do is look at a situation and make it simple, and efficient. And you have to look at things sometimes from different direction, and then you have to. You have to use that thing that's in your head, that brain. You'll be surprised at what it would do. So just don't think about sit around and just wait for someone to teach you things. Look at it, learn it, but also start thinking from different perspective and learn things on your own.
Well, let me turn to Leroy Yarday for Leroy's story, who's also part of this group. 10 graduates of the pre-apprenticeship construction trades program. That celebration is happening on Saturday for Upstate Interiors Academy. Leroy, I'm going to give you the microphone and just tell us your story and how you ended up in this program as well.
All right. Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Leroy Yarday. I was born and raised in Rochester, New York. I'm 43 years old. My mom is black and my dad is West Indian, so that's why I have that last name, Yarday. My dad was actually born in St. Michael's, Barbados, exactly where Rihanna the singer is from, that Barbados island. So that's where my dad was born and raised at. Born there, then he eventually came up here and married my mom, and that's how he ended up getting his green card. But I was born and raised in Rochester, New York, like I was saying, and majority of my life I spent on the west side of Rochester, New York, Fife Square to be exact, where it's to be off of West Main Street and Brown Street in that area. And, I was always brought up with good morals and principles from my mom and my grandmother part of the side of the family. My father always instilled a good work ethic in me because he was his own boss. He knew how to fix chimneys. He was a great mechanic. So majority of his jobs, he took me with him. I was there with him. I have a little brother, but he took me with him. And I was hands-on with him. Like, he'll be up on a ladder fixing the chimney. He'll be like, go get me a hammer. Go get me this. Go get me that. And I have to bring it to him. You know what I mean? So he was a good role model in that aspect of my life. But I chose to, growing up, I chose to cleave to the bad things, you know, and fight Square Project, selling drugs and stuff of that nature. So my life took a turn to the point I had to go to prison for a substantial amount of time. I did 12 and a half years in federal prison, and I did 3 years and 9 months and 1 day in state prison. But in federal prison, I end up turning my life over to Christ, you know, and striving to do have a better life for myself, you know. But then I came home and made some poor choices, was dealing with lust, you know what I mean? And it cost me, you know what I mean, to go back to prison. But I learned from that as well. And I took those opportunities of going back to prison to better myself. The last time I went back to prison, well, the first time I went to prison, I obtained my GED. And like I said, I found Christ. And then the second time, I ended up obtaining my Surf Safe qualification. So I do have my Surf Safe qualification, the manager certificate to be exact. That's the highest one. And I have that. And in the midst of me being in prison, in the state prison, you know, I was in Gowanda, Wyoming, and I came home from Collins too. But in the midst of me being in those prisons, I met some people like counselors and stuff that really helped me to become a better person as well. Because they told me, they said, man, if you're in this type of environment where it's all negativity, and you signed up for this program, and you're in this culinary arts program for 2 years, and you got to stay out of trouble, you can't catch no shots or nothing, so that means you can't fight over this phone and all these other things to make it home. So I end up doing that, and I end up obtaining that degree, and I end up getting 6 months off my sentence. You see, so then I come out here. So then when I came out here, I got back into the asbestos field, you know, but my wife was sharing with me, like, she wanted me to get out of that field because it's hazardous, you know.
Sure.
Even though I was making good money in that field. So one day I was on Lyle Avenue. I ended up meeting this young guy named Marcellus. He was already in the carpentry field. Not this program per se, but he was in the carpentry field. So when I met him at a Chinese restaurant on Lyle Avenue, I met him by introducing to him to Christ, letting him know what I found, and this is what it is. This is the way you should go, because since I've been out here, I've been seeing a lot of young dudes wanting to do bad things, like I did when I was younger, looking up to the bad examples. So I shared that with him, but in return of me sharing Christ with him, he shared to me about this program. So then I reached out to Miss Nashi, and had a good conversation with her. And then she was like, okay, well, you know, think about it. And if you really, what you really want to do, then reach back out to me and we'll make it happen. So that's what I did. So then Miss Nashi reached back out to me and said, gave me an invitation to come to the graduation. So I already attended the graduation before I even got in the program.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
So I looked at the graduation, I said, oh, wow, these people are really sincere. These people are loving, you know what I mean? And these people are trying to help, especially the young people. So I said, wow, this is good. So yeah, I do want to participate in this program. And I ran it back to my wife, and she said, yeah, that'd be good. So make a long story short, I get into the program. Dwayne McClary's the instructor. And as you talk to Miss Nashi and everybody else, they all in, you know, they're the staff members of the program. So when I get in there, I see how they were so adamant and loving to help us. You know what I mean? Like Dwayne McClary, making sure that I understand how to read a tape measure. Before I came here, I was dumbfounded. I could pick up a tape measure. I didn't know how to read a tape measure. So he taught me the simple ways of how to read a tape measure. He also taught me the simple ways of how to lay the foundation when you build a partition. You know what I mean? Having the bottom track and the bottom track and the top track, having it mirror itself. The 16 on center, like Coffee McClary shared. They taught us all these things. But the most important thing that I got out of this whole situation is living a life of love, taking care of your family in a most productive way. That's what I got out of this whole thing.
Amazing. And I'm upset that we don't have a second hour with everybody here. So, Leroy, last 30 seconds here. What do you want to be doing next now with your life?
So now, my life now is constructed of the next goal. Because that the program taught me that about too, setting goals and standards, right? So now my goal now is to reach the journeyman phase, which is the fourth phase. So that's my goal there, because I understand that by me reaching that phase, I'm going to be very humbly happy because I set out a goal and I accomplished it. Not just for me, but for my wife and my family as
well.
You're
on your way. You're doing it. I mean, it's obvious. Just you have a magnetic personality. It's clear to me that this is... these life lessons you've learned, you're very upfront about it.
Oh, yeah.
You're not running from it. It's remarkable. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to Jahmir. Congratulations to Cesare. Thank you for sharing your stories. Thanks for coming on here and telling the community about yourselves and also helping them understand why this program is so powerful. One more time, Saturday, 10 graduates. It's a big day for them. But if you want to learn more, if you know someone who might be a great fit in the future, Upstate Interiors, Upstate Interiors Academy. Nayshi, where can they go online to learn more here?
Yes, thank you, Evan. They can go to www.upstateinteriorsllc.com. Go to the Contact Us page. You can fill out the application there, and someone will be in contact with you.
Gentlemen, thank you all very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Great
to have
a
best day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. And to the McClary family, thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for telling the story here. Come back anytime. We appreciate you. More connections coming up in a moment.